at the book of 1 Kings. Amen. We're going to look at chapter number 17. So if you would, go to 1 Kings chapter 17. And if you can stand, stand. If you can't stand, I understand. Amen. Amen. Stand in reverence of the word, not of reverence of me. I'm nothing, but the word of God is the creative power of the universe. Amen. It has all authority. When you have chapter 17 of the book of 1 Kings, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. We're going to parade and peruse 16 verses. Don't panic. It's cool. And it says, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and he went to Zarephath. And when he had came unto the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Amen. May God bless those hidden doors of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for thought tag title for this message, trusting what God said. Amen. We must trust what God said. Amen. That, you know, we trust a lot of people in what they say. We vote based upon what a politician has told us, and we say and we think and we trust that he's going to do what he said. Many times they do not do what they said they could do, because they really can't do all they say that they can do. Many times we trust an attorney. Many times we trust a doctor. But when will we begin to trust what thus saith the Lord? Man, we have to understand that there is no more important word, no more important promises than what God has already said. I know that we are people who like to know what God is saying right now, and we love to hear a word of prophecy or two here and there. I love to hear it myself. But what we got to understand is if God has already said something, we need to be able to hold on to the promises of what he's already said. And before we go try to seek what somebody else is saying that he said. Oh, he has a whole lot of stuff in there. For instance, I mean, if we just look at what he said he'll make us the head and not the tail. He'll make us the lender and not the borrower. He'll make us above and not beneath. He said all of this if we would just obey his word. If God has promised us some things, amen, we need to know what he's promised us. We can't just go by just because I've been good. We get God and Santa Claus mixed up. Because we think, okay, I've been good for a few weeks or a couple of days, and I ought to get something for being good. Let me tell you, it ain't about being good for a couple of days or a few months. It's about changing your mindset and your life, because God, you can't fool him. Now, you know, he knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you are awake. That's God, not Santa Claus. He knows when you've been bad or good. Amen. He knows. God knows. And look, in spite of us, God still blesses us. You know that? Even because, see, Santa Claus may not give you a gift if you're bad, but God will bless you with a gift. Amen. To keep you from being bad. What a gift? The Holy Ghost. Amen. To help you to do good when evil is what? Present. Y'all don't hear me now. I already preached. Amen. So we have to learn to trust what God said. The problem is that we don't, you can tell our relationship with God by how much we trust him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It goes on to say that by the word of God, through faith, the word of God framed up the worlds or the universe as we know it. If God framed up the world and because he spoke and he brought things to exist out of something that didn't really exist by his word, if the word of God is that powerful, how much more powerful the word of God will be in your life if you allow the word to be in you and spoken from your mouth. He said, if ye abide in me, Jesus said in John chapter 15, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. The reason why he said that is because if you know his word, you won't ask anything outside of his will. Preach. And so we need to know the will of God in our life. And when we know the will, we know the word. And the word helps us to understand his will, because how do I get to know who he is? By his word. Amen. And so we need to trust what God's word has said. Now, here we find in the text that's chosen for the day, we find that the topic of the person of interest here is Elijah. Elijah is a prophet. He was the first of his kind that was able to perform documented miracles. He may have done more, but he performed 16 miracles, documented. And Elijah doesn't say a whole lot about his history, himself, or where he comes from. It doesn't say anything about his parents or anything like that. But what it does say that his name is Elijah. And this allows me to know that apparently his father and his mother had some type of belief and relationship with God, because they named him Elisha. What that means, the word Eli means God is, and the word Yah means Jehovah or Yahweh, YHVH is the tetragrammaton, which is, it means God's name, amen? And so his name proclaimed who God was. And he was raised up in a time where people were idol worshipers. They sought to worship an idol. They were all about fertility and prosperity. Sounds like us today, about prosperity. We want more. Give us more, God. Give us more. And we find ourselves worshiping idolly rather than adulterously, rather than worshiping the one and only true God. Now, what we got to understand is that when Elijah the Tishbite, his name Elijah the Tishbite means where he was from. He was from an area of Gilead, a city called Tishbe. What he, where he lived and all that may not seem to be significant, but what they were trying to do was separate him from any other Elijah and let you know who he really was, all right? And so he lived there, and he came up in a time where there was a king by the name of Ahab, and Ahab was a bad king. He was not a good guy. He married a woman that was awful, and the woman that was awful made him awful. His wife was named Jezebel, and when people get mad at you, they want to call you a what? especially women. They always want to call women Jezebel. Always because, they used to be a certain sect would say that people were Jezebels if they wore makeup or if they showed their arms or their neck or whatever, neckline. And if they wore a dress that was above the ankle, they called them Jezebels. And so we know that's not really what a Jezebel is. A Jezebel is when somebody seeks to control by whatever means. Now, we got to understand something. Jezebel controls by not just dominating you, but she controls by getting under you to overthrow you. Preach. She controls by being nice to you so that she can do what she wants to do and have her way, right? Not only that, but then she's a threat. If she can't have her way, you'll find out she begin to threaten. Amen. This is the spirit of Jezebel, and I say she because that's the spirit of Jezebel, right? And this spirit can be on a man or a woman, preach. And this spirit, if you don't do what they say, they go crazy. They begin to threaten you. That's what happened with Elijah. She began to threaten him when he killed the prophets of Baal. She said, tomorrow you're going to be the same way they are. You're going to be dead. And it made him fear because she was an evil person. One day there was a man that had a vineyard, and her husband Ahab wanted it. And he told him, he said, no, I can't give you mine. This is all I got. He said, I'll give you a top price for it. He said, no, I want to keep this. And so he went to Jezebel crying, talking about, you know, he won't give me that vineyard. And then she said, oh, don't worry about it. She had the man killed and took his vineyard. That's Jezebel. Would not stop until she get what she want. Come on and say, man, anybody knowing that Jezebel's just, I just won't quit until I manipulate my way to it. I'm going to dominate. I'm going to get what I want no matter what you think, no matter who I hurt, no matter how bad it is. I wish I had somebody. We have to beware of the spirit of Jezebel. Matter of fact, and I'm going to try to get to the text, but matter of fact, the spirit of Jezebel is going to be at the church. Come on and say, man. How do I know? The Bible says it in the book of Revelation. He said that Jezebel has caused everybody to drink and get drunk off the wine of her adultery. Come on and say amen. And so what Jezebel does is make you start worshiping other than God, worshiping in a different way, worshiping something else, trying to become somebody that can say, okay, I like God, I love God, but I also love the world. I love what I can get. I wish I had somebody. Jezebel makes you compromise when you know you shouldn't, preach. Amen. And so what we got to understand is that he married a woman that was wicked. She was wicked, so it made him wicked. And so what happened here, Elijah finally told him, he said, because of your adultery. Now, if you go back and you read in Deuteronomy, I believe it's around the 20th chapter, and then also in Leviticus, but you'll find out that God said, if you will turn away from me, I will cause the famine to come in the land. If you turn away from me, I'll mess with your fertility. I mess with your prosperity. I make sure you start to beg and you start to have a pinch because you turn your back on me. Y'all with me here? And so they turned their back on him. And so he spoke to Elijah. He told him, he said, it's not going to rain. And he told that to Ahab. He let the king know. Now, Elijah was a bold man. He was courageous because he wasn't afraid to go to the king and tell the king, because the king called him a troublemaker. He said, every time, you ain't got nothing good to say to me. Nothing. And Elijah said, you ain't doing nothing good. So you don't deserve nothing good. Y'all still with me here? So it says in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, go hence eastward and hide yourself. Now, after he told him, he said, it's not going to rain. Elijah, look at this. This is a mark of a true prophet. Because the prophet knew that it was going to affect him too. He didn't hesitate to prophesy. Because sometimes, you know, we our faith is weak. Because God will show us something and we'll say, oh God, I hope not. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And God said, I didn't show you to rebuke it. I showed you so you can be prepared. Yeah, okay. Y'all with me still? And so here was, he told him, he said, now what I need you to do is go hide yourself because they're hunting for you. I need you to go eastward and hide yourself by the brook or the ravine or the bayou. So that is before Jordan. That is right before you get to the river. So he said, I need you to go hide yourself. I need you to get away because they're going to come hunting for you. Now, you know, people, sometimes they hunt you down. They come at you. Now, we got to see here. God is speaking. God has given him a promise, right? And so he's given him a promise. God spoke to him. What I love about this, God gave him a promise, and he spoke to him before the famine and during the famine. Amen. And one thing we got to understand is that God won't just leave you with it. He'll speak to you before it get here, and he'll speak to you while you're going through it. Now, here was Elijah. He was hiding out because, now, he was with them, and they couldn't do nothing to him. Now, I'm going to tell you, Elijah was a bad man because when they would come hunting for him, the Bible says that they were so afraid, the captains that were coming hunt for him, the people who were trying to hunt him down that were sent to him, they were so afraid, they thought he called fire down and destroy him. They were so afraid that when Elijah showed up, they were like, don't hurt me. I'm just doing what I'm told to do. That's what they were so afraid. But he told me, God said, go hide yourself. And he went to hide himself. And the thing about it is that, you know, sometimes people will hunt you down just because of the word that's in your life. The devil will try to come against you, not because of you, but because God spoke a word. Oh, come on and say amen. If God has given you a promise, know that the enemy is going to come after you. They're going to make up lies on you. They're going to talk about you. Talk about you like you got a tail and everything. They'll talk about you like you're a dog, like you ain't even a child of God. And the bad thing about it is be folks that look like you and folks that go to some of the churches like you go to that'll be the main ones that the devil will use to try to tear you down. Come on and say amen. Y'all with me here. Y'all, come on now. Y'all looking at me kind of funny, but I'm trying to tell you that the Bible says that he told him to go hide himself, and sometimes you got to just stay away from that kind of stuff. Sometimes you just got to let them go do what they're going to do. Let them burn themselves out lying on you. Let them burn themselves out talking about you. Let them burn themselves out trying to break you down, beat you down, whoop you down. Let them burn themselves out, but you stay put where God put you. Amen. You stay in the place where God wants you to be, and if you can stay right there, God will sustain you in the place that you're at. All right, look what he said. He said, now go right there to the brook. And he says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Look at how God did this. God said, now he had him prophesy. When he prophesied, he turned around and he didn't tell him how he was going to make it, but he told him, that's okay, you're going to make it. Then after he told him to go, he said, now, since you're going, let me tell you how you're going to make it. I'm going to cause a miracle to happen. I'm going to cause some things to happen that had never happened before. I'm going to cause a bird that ain't never fed nobody but itself. You ever see those ravens or those blackbirds out there eating on something that's dead or whatever? They fight each other whenever they can. They fight each other to try to get. And you telling me birds that fight each other that don't even. And matter of fact, these birds will eat their young if you don't watch it. And so since these birds were so ravenous and so bad, they wouldn't normally feed anybody or share anything. But look at what God said. He will cause the ones that don't share to begin to share. I wish I had somebody. He said, I'll make them come. And the Bible says that I'll make them feed you that. Now it was something to say that they were going to feed him with meat that they found somewhere. Something died because of the famine. But the Bible said God told him that the raven was going to give him bread and meat. Y'all don't hear me in here. It's something how God make a raven make you a sandwich in the wilderness. Preach up in here. Sometimes we get in a wilderness, in a place that we don't know where we are. We don't know how we're going to make it. We can't see it because ain't nobody else making it. You need to have confidence in what God has said, that he didn't say you're going to be like everybody else. But what he said was that if you can trust my word, you're going to make it, because I'm going to cause the raven, the ones who don't feed nobody, the selfish folk, come on and say, man, the ones that don't do nothing for nobody else, to do something for you. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? God will make a way, even if he has to choose something that is an unlikely source. God will make an unlikely source bless you. God will make an unlikely person bless you. God will make an unlikely thing bring you just what you need. I know we want more than what we need. God, give me more than that. What about my cable bill? God said, I ain't tell you I was going to supply your cable bill. I'll give you bread in a starving. I wish I had somebody. I'll give you water when you're thirsty. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. And so if God promised it, we need to believe what God had said. Amen. He said the ravens will feed you. But notice what God said. You got to stay in the place where God wants you to be. He said, go to the brook. And Elijah did what? Went to the brook. Many of us wouldn't have went to the brook. We'd have said, said, let me go find out what, let me go find out what Hazel got over there to eat. Let me go find out if Leroy got something over here. Let me go see what they doing. And maybe they got a little barbecue left from yesterday. We would have been trying to find something. We were trying to hook up with somebody that had a little, I know they had plenty over there, so I'm going to go stay with them. And God didn't tell you to go anywhere else. He told you to go where I told you to go, and I told you to stay right there, because what I got there is going to sustain you in the midst of your famine. Sometimes we need a word from God. Sometimes we need meat from God, and we need to get in a place where we can get some water. I wish I had somebody. What does the water represent? The water represents the word. The bread represents the word, and the meat represents the heavy things of God in the word of God. I wish I had somebody. And so what do you need in the midst of the famine? Oh, you thought you needed money. Oh, you thought you needed friends. You thought you needed some other stuff. But all you need is the word from the Lord. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I don't need a whole bunch of friends. I don't need a whole bunch of people. All I need is a word from the Lord. Do I have anybody that said, all I need is a word? We got to trust God. Trust him for what he's done. All glory be to God. I need a word from God. He said here that the ravens will feed you there. See, God already commanded the raven. Now, the one thing about it is that we got to understand that God is so powerful that if he makes a command, the thing that he made the command to don't even realize. You ever had somebody that was just nice to you? You thought they hated your guts. And all of a sudden, they had a change of heart. They can't help themselves because God is that powerful. The Bible said the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he'll turn it whatever way. We don't give God enough credit for his power. God is so powerful that he'll make things be that shouldn't have been. Oh, I wish I had somebody. God will change things the way you will turn around and say, what in the world? Or like, what is his name, Brown? What's going on? We would be questioning what is going on, because God is just that powerful. He'll do something. And look, sometimes when people listen, you got to get that hardness out your heart. I know they did you wrong. But when they're trying to be nice, you need to know that it's God that's making them do it. Oh, I ain't speaking to them. I'm tired. I don't want nothing to do with them. And God is telling them to go do something for you, and you don't even know that God has directed them. Because you're too mean. Now, you done let bitterness, I wish I had somebody. You done let bitterness overtake you, so you can't even hear God because you ain't in right relationship, because unforgiveness is taking over. Y'all don't hear me. Unforgiveness is taking over. Let it go. If they did you wrong, they did you wrong. But today, let it go, because it affects your relationship with God. If you keep holding grudges, you're going to get sick. God told me this the other day, I'm telling you. God said, until we get love right, people are going to keep getting really sick. Until we get love right. And this is, now, I'm not talking about just us. This is everywhere. God said there's going to be sickness with no cures if we can't let go and love right. Oh, Lord. I know that don't sound good, don't feel good, and it wasn't good to me either. But I know if God says it. Amen. And it's not just that God said it, but if you keep that bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, and stuff in your heart, it begins to affect your body. All right, I'm not going to go. We preached about that before already. Amen. So he said, the word of the Lord, this is the key, the word of the Lord. He told him what to do. The word, God gave him instructions. Amen. And so in verse 5 it says, and so he went, did what? According unto the word of the Lord. Have we done according to the word of the Lord, or do we kind of deviate? We do part of it, and then we decide to do something else. We do our own little thing. But he said he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook that is before Jordan. Now, there may have been some better places for him to dwell. He wasn't even in a house. By the brook. He wasn't even in a shelter. But the Lord took care of him. Now, we would have been complaining and feeling sorry for ourselves, because I ain't got nowhere to lay my head. I'm out here in the dark. But that's that's okay. God puts the stars in the sky. And look, you really don't need this shelter because it ain't going to rain no way. All right. Put him by the brook. Verse 6 says, and the ravens did what God said he was, what they were going to do. Brought bread and flesh in the what? Morning. And bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank as much as he wanted. It's amazing how God said, look, I'm going to give you bread and flesh. And I'm going to give you breakfast and dinner. Every day. By an unlikely source. Let that unlikely source be your blessing. And he drank from the brook. And it came to pass after a while. The brook what? Because there had been no rain. You got to know that sometimes the thing that you rely on, God is not going to allow it to help you. The brook dried up. And he stayed by the brook until it what? See, some of us would say, oh, this thing might dry, but let's go find somewhere else. We would have got ahead of God. Oh, I'm just preparing myself. No, God says, stay here until it's all gone. Until you get all that you're going to get out of it, then you can move. He stayed by the brook, and it dried up because there had been no rain. Now, what would we have done if the brook had dried up on us? God, I thought you said you were going to sustain me. God, I thought you said, and we don't know that God already has a plan. Let the brook dry up and trust what he said. If he said he'll get you through this famine, if he said he'll get you through this drought, you need to know that God will get you through it. God will not take you to what he can't get you through. Somebody tell your neighbor, God will not take you to what he can't get you through. We need to know that God is always working on our side. He's always looking to preserve us. He's always looking to keep us and to bless us. And we need to let him do it without belly aching and complaining to God that the brook dried up. What about the fact that he hid you by the brook when everybody else didn't have water? He had given you water. How about he had the raven to feed you bread and meat when nobody else had a sandwich? You had a Subway. Oh, Lord, have mercy. In the midst of your family. God did all of that, but instead we will stop to complain when it runs out. I'm not going to complain that it ran out. I'm going to praise God that it lasted as long as it did. I'm going to praise God that he made a way where there seemed to be no way. I'm going to praise God that he blessed me from an unlikely source. So I'm not, God, you ain't done nothing wrong to me. I know you're all right. I know you've been good. Come on and shout yes in here. Oh yeah, we got to know that sooner or later the brook will dry up. Oh yeah, all good things come to an end. But that's all right. The Bible says that we're going to have some things happen like this. And when things happen, we still got to what? Trust in the Lord. We have to trust. And all Elijah had was, God, you said it. That's it. All he had. He didn't have a promissory note. He didn't have some other prophet come to him in the wilderness and say, thus saith the Lord. He didn't have anybody tell him anything. What if nobody prophesied to you? What if there ain't nobody for you to talk to? What if, and you know how we get mad with people because there ain't nobody to talk to. Ain't nobody encouraged us. Ain't nobody looked around to see if we needed anything. So what? God know what you need. And by the way, God is the source of your supply, not me. Oh yeah, he's the source of your strength. He's the strength of your life, not me. And since I'm not the strength, I'm not the source, and I'm not the supply, you can't get mad with me. You don't get mad when your electricity is off. You don't get mad with the socket. You start talking about SWEPCO. You start talking about the city of Nat, because they are the what? Source. Come on and say amen. So don't get mad with me. I'm just the conduit. You can plug in and get something, but I'm not the source. I wish I had somebody in here. Preaching better than y'all saying amen. Not only does God make a promise, but God preserves us. He preserves us from, not only protect us from the enemy, because he hid him out and they couldn't find him. Now, you know that was one of the few sources of water in that day. Somebody should have been looking for that hole that he was drinking out of. Somebody should have been looking for that ravine that he was drinking out of. But nobody found it because God had preserved the place just for him. All I'm trying to tell you is that God has a place preserved just for you. And you keep worried about who's going to drink your water.